Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. Alan J. Huth shares a Bible passage with comments from over 35 years of his personal Bible reading journals and applies the Word of God to our daily lives.
Today we are in Hebrews chapter 10. We will learn about Christ's sacrifice once and for all and the full assurance of faith. Let's listen in to Roy Hansky, our guest reader, on Hebrews chapter 10.
Hebrews chapter 10. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings have you not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds," then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment, and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those who so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls.
In 1993, I read Hebrews chapter 10, but I didn't make any notes in my personal Bible reading journal, so let's move on to 2005. In that year, I read Hebrews chapter 10, and I wrote, Jesus is the final, ultimate sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. After him, no more animal sacrifices are needed. Because of Jesus, we can enter the Holy of Holies with confidence, for he who promised is faithful. To reject or ignore the sacrifice Jesus made and seek another way is destructive. Quoting verse 31, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In 2013, when I read Hebrews chapter 10, I wrote, salvation nor forgiveness came from the law. The law defines sin. Sacrifices did not take away sin. The crucifixion of Jesus and his shed blood is the acceptable sacrifice for forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Jesus. Those of us who know this have been enlightened and must endure and not shrink back to preserve our souls. And then I wrote the Easter story in Hebrews. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 4. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. I think that makes sense to most of us. And in verse 5, Jesus quotes Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. It's about him. He quotes, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. Jesus comes to end the sacrifice of bulls and goats. His body will be sufficient. Verse 12, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And verse 14, for a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The thousands of sacrifices of bulls and goats in the Old Testament could not take away sins, but Jesus' one and only sacrifice was enough. What is the result of that sacrifice? Let's go to verse 19 and following. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hallelujah. And verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Yes, our hope is in Jesus. We have full assurance of faith. We have been washed with pure water. So let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. With this good news, that's what we should do, is stir up one another. And we do that by assembling ourselves together. Verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's an admonition to go to church, to be in fellowship with fellow believers. Why? To stir up one another to love and good works. Why? To encourage one another. We all need that. Let's go on to the closing verses of the chapter. Some say, okay, I've been forgiven, therefore I can continue to sin because God has to forgive me. Let's see what the Word of God says about that. Let's begin at verse 26. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Verse 29, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant? And verses 30 and 31, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. After knowing about the sacrifice of Jesus and the forgiveness of sin, to go on deliberately in sin is not a good place to be. Verse 38, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. These verses remind us, don't take the forgiveness of God for granted. Don't toy with deliberate sin. Hopefully that's not you. Hopefully verse 39 is who we are. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Yes, friends, forgiveness is the greatest gift on earth. Jesus made it possible. Don't take it for granted. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He has been faithful to us. May we be faithful to him. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.